This is Inside Europe. That 16-year-old Swedish schoolgirl, Greta Thunberg, who we heard in Terry's report, she was also in the German city of Hamburg recently calling on politicians to take action on climate change.
For way too long, the politicians and the people in power have gotten away with not doing anything to fight the climate crisis. But we will make sure that they will not get away with it any longer.
Greta Thunberg speaking in Hamburg there. And to discuss, we're joined by the president and founder of the Center for Industrial Progress, Alex Epstein. Hello, Alex.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Yeah, you're welcome to Inside Europe. Now, you're also author of the book, The Moral Case of Fossil Fuels. Do you share Greta's concern?
Well, I think we should definitely be concerned about the future. And in terms of climate, we should be concerned about the future of the safety of our climate, of the livability of our climate. But what I think she's missing is that really the safety of our climate and the livability of our climate depend above all on having a robust, high-energy industrial civilization. 100 years ago, 200 years ago, 300 years ago, there was a constant climate crisis because we had to live with the natural climate absent human technology and industry. So when people are thinking about issues like climate and more broadly, any kind of issue of human well-being or human flourishing, they really need to recognize that cheap, plentiful, reliable energy is essential to all of these things. And I think that if she looked at the full context of it, she would actually be more afraid of policies that deprive people of energy than policies that allow, say, the planet to warm by 1 degree.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a theme running throughout your book, which suggests that the environment is there to support us, to cater for our needs and to just support our comfort.
Yeah, so I think of environment, an environment is a habitat or a surrounding. So I think of environment from the perspective of it's our environment. So we want as good an environment for ourselves as possible. And that requires us mastering the climate through things like heating and air conditioning, through being able to deal with storms, through being able to deal with droughts. And at the core of that is energy, because energy powers all of the machines that allow us to deal with nature and to be productive. So I think the first thing is recognizing that energy is fundamental to every aspect of human flourishing. And then the second thing is to recognize that cheap, plentiful, reliable energy is actually really hard to produce. We still have billions of people who don't have it, and there are only certain technologies that are good at producing it, namely fossil fuels and to some extent nuclear and to some extent hydro. And when people are against fossil fuels and nuclear, like you see in Germany, it has really, really disastrous results.
But what about coal? I mean, should we have the right to burn coal, for example?
Yeah, I mean, fundamentally, yes. And in general, for billions of people, coal is the best source of energy. And if somebody is thinking about, well, what are the negative side effects of coal? They can think about that, but they need to be precise about how big those are and how those compare to the benefits of coal. If you look at China and India, their use of coal correlates very strongly with an increase in life expectancy. And that's because for those people, coal as an electricity source has been the only way of them getting cheap, plentiful, reliable electricity.
But also, if you think about China, there's a huge smog issue in Beijing. I mean, how would you deal with that?
Well, one interesting thing about that, if we're talking about costs and benefits, is that that smog increase has coincided with dramatic increases in life expectancy. So still overall, human health and well-being is way better. But also what we know from the experience of the rest of the world is that it's possible to burn coal very cleanly when you have lots of places with very high quality air that burn coal. So it's just a technological issue. It's just for communities to decide, okay, if we want it, we can pretty cost effectively make coal quite clean and be consistent with healthy air while extending our lives. But no matter what, we have to recognize the role of having cheap, plentiful, reliable energy in extending people's lives. Otherwise, we're going to make disastrous decisions like this teenager is talking about, who's telling us she wants to, in effect, deny billions of people of energy in the name of protecting themselves from climate. And that's a really bad trade. And without energy, we can't protect ourselves from climate.
Yeah, she's saying what 98% of scientists are saying, and also David Attenborough, the British historian and writer.
Right now, we're facing a man-made disaster of global scale. Our greatest threat in thousands of years, climate change. If we don't take action, the collapse of our civilizations and the extinction of much of the natural world is on the horizon.
That's Sir David Attenborough there at the COP24 climate change summit last year. So, I mean, how long do we have before we're doomed?
So here's my perspective. My perspective is that humanity has been doomed for 100,000 years because it was very hard to live even to my age, which is 38. I mean, certainly David Attenborough would almost definitely be dead by now. And the teenager statistically wouldn't have even made it to her age. So I don't regard it as the Earth was perfect and then we messed it up. I regard it as the Earth had a lot of potential, but we didn't figure out how to actualize that potential to live until about 200 years ago when we figured out how to produce cheap, plentiful, reliable energy with fossil fuels. That's what empowered us as a species. So if you want to talk about the collapse of civilization, the number one thing that can do that is by taking away the energy of the civilization.
Mm. During the week, Finland said it wants the EU to agree to achieve a net zero carbon footprint. Is that realistic?
Finland is in an interesting situation because among the countries there, they can more easily claim to be close to that, although they're not anywhere near it because they have a lot of nuclear, which that's good, although they seem to do it pretty inefficiently. And then they have a very small population with a lot of forests, so they can use biomass. Now, the accounting on biomass with CO2 is pretty dubious in many ways. But what they're promoting in general as net zero, if you look at the power needs of the world in general or the EU in particular, that is disastrous. That would deny billions and billions of people energy, and that would make life worse.
Alex Epstein, thank you very much for joining us on Inside Europe.
Thank you.
That's Alex Epstein, president and founder of the Center for Industrial Progress. And Alex's book is The Moral Case for Fossil Fuels.